Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Let this mind be in us which was in thee, who wast a servant, that we might be free, humbling thyself to death on Calvary. Alleluia. Amen. Well, we have just come off a week, at least in the United States, where temperatures ran high, emotions flared, voices were raised, tears shed, sides taken. People want wrongs to be righted. People want justice to prevail. People want the country to move forward in the correct direction. And maybe coming here to church tonight and hearing Jesus speak these words that we heard in our gospel reading, maybe that's just what you wanted to hear. It may have made you feel a little bit better, maybe a little bit tougher. Because you see that Jesus, at least, is finally laying down the law. He says that sinners should cut off hands and pluck out eyes, lest they go to hell. And so you may just want to say, take that. Everyone in Washington, D.C., you have been warned. And I get it. I truly do. I understand, because the despicable, the demonic practice of child sacrifice has gone on and stayed in this country for far too long. Or the lie that two men or two women could be married violates both natural and spiritual laws. And that the driving force behind all of these things is the desire to be able to sleep around outside of marriage. All of that, all of it, we should want it all to stop. And if you came to this evening and heard the scriptures that way, that is one of the ways that you can read them. You can go through them and notice all of the ways in which the scriptures point out other people's sins. And this week, listening to Jesus, I think half of the country would gladly volunteer to remove the eyes of the other half. And this much is true. It is not wrong to want wrongs to be righted. We should want the world to work correctly. However, the sins of others is not what Jesus is talking about here in this reading. The part in the reading where he talks about what others do, he says, if they would give you a cup of cold water because you belong to Christ, they will be rewarded. And after that, Jesus primarily speaks in the second person, not the third. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Immediately before he says this, the disciples had come up to Jesus, and they want him to straighten out what other people are doing. But Jesus does not bite. Jesus here is not talking to them, whoever they may be. He is talking to you. Here the Son of God is speaking to you, and he is telling you about the very real threat that your sins could lead you to hell. He doesn't beat around the bush either. Cut it off. Tear it out. Now, you have heard it said that Jesus is exaggerating here, that he is using hyperbole, that this is an overstatement, just so you get the point that sin is very, very bad, but you should not really take what Jesus says at face value. But I say to you that I think Jesus is dead serious here. And I think you know that he makes sense, especially since he proves it to us mathematically. Ask yourself, is it better to go to heaven with one eye than with two to go to hell? Yeah, I'm going to say yes. Yes, it is. And I think you would say that too, unless you are a fool. Well, let me put it this way. If you go to the doctor and the doctor comes back with a diagnosis of cancer, what do you want him to say? Which sounds better to your ears? Does he want to? Do you want him to come back and say, it's everywhere inside of you. There is nothing that we could do about it. Or would you rather have him say, you have cancer, but it is very localized. All we need to do is take out the tumor and you will be fine. Wouldn't every single one of us here want the doctor to say the second? And I maintain that Jesus is correct here. If the cancer of sin were located in one single part of you, say your hand or your eye, you should be willing to cut it off. And I think you should consider it a bargain to boot. You know that if it worked this way, that by now there would be surgical teams who specialize in that kind of thing. It would be painless. It would be outpatient. No doubt prosthetics would be further along, so your limp would be much better. And just imagine, if you would be sin-free from that moment in time, and so would everyone around you who had done the same procedure, would you want to live in that world? I know that I would. It would be fantastic. Then you would be living in the world that you want, but that you are never going to get from the Supreme Court, no matter who wears the robes. Because that world would be a world filled with justice and righteousness and love. And so look at your hand and consider if it would be worth it to you. I maintain it would be worth it any day of the week. But here's the thing, as attached as you are to your hand, it is too little. It is too little by far. As Jesus pointed out a few weeks ago, it is not your hand, it is your heart that is bad. It is your heart that puts trust in things that are not God. It is your heart that leads your hands and your feet and your eyes into sin. You could give away both your hands, both your feet, and both your eyes, and you would still be a sinner. And on top of that, you could slaughter thousands or 10,000s of bulls and goats and sheep. And even then, it still wouldn't be enough. Because the true cost of making you sin-free is not anything remotely as cheap as any of that stuff, or even all of that stuff combined. The true cost, and you know this, the true cost was the Son of God taking on flesh and being crucified. The sacrifice that was given was his blood being shed. And only with his death have the scales of justice tilted in our favor. It is because of Jesus Christ that you are declared righteous, that your sins are forgiven. And the only way that the whole earth becomes as it should, as you want it to be, is on the day that he returns. Now, Jesus in our gospel reading tonight does mention hell for those who sin, for those who lead others into sin. And if you got through this week and you are worried that wicked people are going to get away with it, well, rest assured, if God had his way, they would. Because he calls them to repentance too. He hopes that they hear of Jesus' sacrifice and come to know that Jesus was killed to cover their sins as well. God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus says that everyone will be salted with fire, not just them, but everyone. As for you, have salt within yourselves, the salt of the gospel, that though you are sinful, nevertheless, God has had mercy on you. Let that be your peace. Let that be your rest, a peace that passes all our understanding and guards and keeps your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus forever. Amen.